Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now let's join lead pastor Scott Simorok as he teaches at Church on the Hill.
Hey, this morning, it seems fitting to start by praying. I just wanted to pray for maybe one or two things like Afghanistan, the Caldor fire, floods in Tennessee, unbelievable drought we have right now, COVID, our recall election coming up. Is there anything else? I hear other things, Haiti, hurricane. Yeah, we could keep going on this, right? Our world's a disaster, I'm just saying. It is, one natural disaster and people disaster after another. And so I never want us to forget. And when we gather on Sunday morning, we're not ignoring what is going on in our world. This is our pause and our break to worship God and to pray, God, how do we help? How do we make a difference in the world around us? And maybe it's we're going to help rescue people. Maybe not out of war, but maybe we're going to help rescue people who look at all of this and just go, man, there needs to be a God in this world. And they're ready to give their life to Christ. And also, how do we show compassion and mercy on people? So let's just pause for a minute. You pray as I pray, okay? You just don't have to listen to my prayer. Would you pour your heart out for God on behalf of those who are hurting right now? So let's pray. God, I really do believe that we're watching what happens when a world lives without you. And we need you, God. We need you to bring peace where there's war and wisdom, where there's foolishness. God, we need you to bring humility where there's arrogance and love where there's hate. God, would you help people who are suffering? And would you give your church direction in places where we can help? God, have mercy on us. And I pray that through all this, God, that you would draw people into relationship with Jesus all over the world. And if you agree with that, would you simply say, amen? I want to start this morning by telling you the story of William A. Austin. He was a soccer player in England. Those were the two loves of his life at the age of 22, soccer and England. I'm not sure which was more important to him. He played for the Manchester United Soccer League, and at 22 years old, a teammate started sharing Christ with him, telling him where he went to church, telling him about this Jesus that he had met, and at first he wasn't interested, but there was something about Jesus that captivated his heart, and eventually he became a Christian, and it changed everything for him. He started going to church. He became really good friends with his pastor, P.J. Smith, and during one of those particular Sundays, instead of the pastor speaking, this missionary got up and spoke, and once again, God grabbed his heart somehow, and he decided he was going to be a missionary to South America. So he started going to Bible school in Wales, and after he graduated, he's like, South America is the place, that's where I'm going to go. So William A. Austin left Liverpool, England on July 23rd, 1941. He was headed to Chile for his first term as a missionary. The organization that he was with was called Soldiers and Gospel Mission of South America. He sailed on this ship called the Gascony with Captain G. Whittle. And there were actually three ships in this convoy that were all together. The year was 1941. World War II was still 4 years from being over. So all three ships were sailing under the Swiss flag, a neutral ship, all three of them. And so they all sailed together 3 days into the journey. One of the ships had engine trouble, and so it stayed behind. But so it wasn't alone, another ship stayed behind, but the Gascony, the ship that he was on, they said, go ahead. And it wasn't until later that William would learn that both of those ships had been torpedoed by German submarines. One of them sank, the other was so badly damaged it had to turn around and return to port after it had picked up all the survivors. This story at this moment just reminded him that life is precious, but more than anything, it reminded him of this, that he was called by God to not just walk with Jesus, but to go to Chile and share Christ with people. He was reminded that God loves him and has a purpose for him. He wasn't done with him yet. he got there and he was pastoring a church. And at the mission board, at the office there, they had this office in Chile, and one particular secretary caught his eye. He had never planned on being married, but the truth is he had never planned on being a missionary either. So he met this gal, and after 2 years, he married Louise. They served for 2 decades in Santiago, Chile. And it was 20 years later, in 1963, where William Austin, Louise Austin, and their 15-year-old daughter returned to England. They were on furlough. If you don't know what furlough is, it's a break. It's a rest. And oftentimes, it's to continuously raise support from churches. Well, when that was done, they were headed back to Chile, and the ship that they were sailing on was named the Reina del Mar. It was an old ship. It was actually an old wooden ship. This trip was going to take 6 weeks, crossing the Atlantic. They boarded the ship, went to Spain, it went to France, then it started heading west. When they got to the Azores, which are these islands in the North Atlantic, about 1,000 miles into the journey, this horrible storm came up. I mean, the waves were actually breaking over the bow of the ship, and it would go up and down, and when the boat would go down into the troughs, the propellers would actually come out of the water. Nobody was allowed on deck. Everybody was locked down. All the furniture on deck was bolted to the ship. It didn't take long. It was about a day, and everything that had been bolted down was ripped off the ship and flung overboard by these waves. This storm went on for 3 days. Every single person on that boat was sick from this motion sickness. But after 3 days, the seas calmed, and everybody celebrated because there was no one who was lost. No one had died through this storm. And one of the cadets on that ship, who knew an awful lot about sailing, who knew an awful lot about ship, he said, he was talking to William and Louise, and he said, "You have no idea how lucky we are." They're like, "Really? Lucky?" He said, no, you don't understand. If we had been on one of the newer ships, one of the steel ships, there's no way this boat would have made it. That ship would have broken apart under the stress of these waves. But because we are on the old wooden ship and the flex that it gives you going through that, it's the only way that we survived. As William tells this story, he recalls that his family was rescued by God again. He tells a lot of, he could tell a lot of stories about how God rescued him and saved his family. These aren't the only two stories, but I tell you this story because it's partly my story. William and Louise Austin are my grandparents. And the 15-year-old girl who was on that boat, that ship, was my mom. And so I tell you that story because of this. I can look back over the history of my family and see how God rescued my family. I have an unbelievable heritage that way. And so what it does to me is this. When I see how God, in my history of my family, has rescued them, it reminds me that God loved them, provided for them, and it reminds me of this. He loves me. And when I see how God's provided for me and loved me, it gives me courage. It gives me courage because I'm going to face my own challenges, my own storms, the own brokenness of my own life, things going on around me, some of the things that we've prayed for this morning, and it just gives me courage to take a step forward and push back fear. Have you had a season at all in the last couple years where you've been tempted to stop and just retreat and just go, it's too scary, it's too messed up, it's too broken, and you just needed an extra dose of courage? Question, can you look back over the history of your family and see how God showed up and showed off so that you can have courage today? So we've been in this series in the book of Psalms. And here's why we're doing the Psalms. It's because of this. I believe that conversations with God can actually bring health to your soul. And that's what the book of Psalms is. If you have a Bible, I want you to do this. Turn to Psalm 136. These psalms, they're written prayers, they're written songs, and I truly believe that these are written conversations so that you and I can go back, read these, experience these. We can have this conversation with God. And so here's the conversations. Each week, there's a different type of psalm that produces something different in our souls. So week one was this. It was about psalms of devotion, where you write this psalm, you pray this psalm that says, God, I'm so committed to you. No matter what is going on around me, I'm devoted to you. And it brings this clarity and this focus to your life, that no matter how crazy it gets, God's with you and you're devoted to him. Week two is psalms of lament. I mean, when pain gets really bad and you're suffering, and psalms of lament, they actually bring hope. Last week was psalms of confession. And the point of psalms of confession is that they would bring change in our life, which brings us to this week. It's psalms of remembering and how they bring courage to us. If you're in Psalm 136, we take a look at how the writer, how he remembers his family. And if you're taking notes, here it is. It's just remembering when God helped your family. It just builds courage. So this is how it begins. Psalm 136, verse 1 reads this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And if you keep looking down that psalm, you'll see this. Every single verse ends the same way. His love endures forever. That's where he wants you to begin. That's where he wants you to land. That's the whole point of this whole psalm. That you would know that God loves you. But it's interesting how he does it. Look down at verse 10. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. You're getting the rhythm of this, right? He looks back over the history of his family from generations ago. And this is the story of the book of Exodus, right? It's how they escaped Egypt. Not that they were so smart that they escaped, but that God led them out, led them through the wilderness, and led them into the promised land. And he looks back and he goes, that's what you did for my family, God. And it reminds me that I'm loved today, and it gives me courage to keep moving. See, these psalms, don't miss this. They're written prayers. They're written songs that are designed to be read in a community like this. Some are designed to be read personally, but Psalm 136 is this conversation with God where he remembers all that God has done for his family so that he has courage today. And so let's make it personal real quick. Can you look back over the life of your family? Maybe it's one generation ago or two or three generations ago, and say, you know, there's stories that are told by my grandparents or my great-grandparents or told by my parents about what God did. If you have those, write it down. Just write it down in your notes. I know there's a whole blank. I left all kinds of blank spaces for you today. Write it down there, whatever that story might be. And here's why this is so important. You will have hard moments. You're going to have challenges. You're going to face difficult people, shocker. People are going to criticize you. You're going to have moments where the storms of life become overwhelming and you definitely feel out of control, and you're going to be tempted to shrink back, fear, disengage, be overcome, overwhelmed. Or if God did that back then and he loves my family, then he must love me too. And what will you do in the next challenge? Will you stand a little taller? Will you walk into situations where you feel like you're overwhelmed? Will the opportunity, instead of being too big for you, you understand that your God is bigger than that opportunity and you'll be bold in it? Will you be able to walk into it with humility? Let me pause for just a moment. And I want to talk to a group of you in the room. And you'll know who you are. Because up until this point, you can't identify with anything I've told you. And it's not good, and it's really not funny. Because when you look back over the history of your family, you don't see how God has done great things. What you see in your past is pain. What you see is abuse, manipulation, drunkenness, conflict, and hurt. When you look at your past, you look at your family, you don't feel courage, you just feel disappointment. You feel like, man, it hasn't been fair. So let me start with this. I first want to really validate your pain. I guarantee there's some things that have gone on. It's not fair and it's not right. It shouldn't have happened. We're in a broken world with broken people who make horrible decisions. Not only that, was our family broken, but we live in a broken world where sometimes medical things happen, and it's not fair. But let's pause for a moment, and I want to point to the second part. And I want to ask you a question. How'd you get here? I mean, you're sitting in the room listening to this message. You're online right now. I don't know. You're sitting at your desk, or you're on your couch in your PJs. How'd you get here? You didn't get here by accident. And you didn't get here because you're so smart. You got here because God's been drawing you in. Somehow, maybe someone invited you to church 3 weeks ago, and that's how you got here. Maybe it was 15 years ago. Someone said, hey, why don't you come to my church? Or they shared who Christ is. And somehow in the midst of that, you got here. And I don't know where here is, that you're hearing this for the first time, that God loves people. Or you're hearing for the first time that God wants to give you courage to move into your life. But there's a group of you that sit in the room, and when you look at your past, you cannot see how God's been active. So don't look at the past. You can look at it and find healing there, but here's where you have to look. You have to look at how you got here. Because God's been instrumental in it. And let me ask you this. This is a true story. I was sitting with somebody over lunch this last week, and I was talking about this message, and his story is when he looks back. He just goes, yeah, there's really nothing but pain there. And he just asked him, I said, so tell me about your kids. Well, they're walking with Christ. Tell me, all those things that your parents did that were broken in the past, are you doing them now? Oh, no, man, it was so broken and so messed up. You don't understand. Like, I wouldn't do any of that to my kids. So what you're telling me is, you didn't sense that God showed up in the past, but he showed up now, and your kids and your grandkids and whoever follows that, they're going to have a different life than you did, because God showed up in your life somehow that maybe you don't see him in the past, but you can see him today and you can see him moving forward in the life that you're giving your family. Are you all with me? There's some of you that is your story, and I think that is reason to celebrate. And so it brings me to this point number two, is that sometimes you can't look to your family, but maybe you can look to what God has done in your specific life. And when you see how God has shown up and showed off, it builds courage in you. Listen to Psalm 18. It's a remembering psalm, and it's written by David. And he's remembering his own life and how God rescued him multiple times. So David's this young shepherd, right? And somehow God picks him. Like, hey, David, you're going to be the next king. And you're like, really? I got all these older brothers. I mean, they're way ahead of me in this line of who should be king. And I've never even been in a palace. But somehow God picks him. But the current king, Saul, oh, he's not too fired up about the fact that, like, oh, hey, there's going to be a new king. And Saul's no longer going to be king. So Saul and David, they're connected. And because Saul didn't like being replaced, he put David in these fierce battles with the enemy. But it's weird, because the more battles he put him in, the more David came out on top. It was such a problem for Saul. Saul's thinking, I'm going to put him in a fierce battle and he's going to get killed there. And David goes into battle against all these incredible odds and comes out victorious and becomes even more popular with the people. Saul's plan backfires on him. You know the story of David and Goliath, right? They started singing this song, Saul's killed this many, but David's killed this many. And I mean, David's popularity is just soaring. Saul is so enraged one day that he grabs a spear and hurls it at David. And from that moment, David's on the run, and Saul tries to kill him multiple times, but each time God rescues him. And listen to this, in Psalm In 2 Samuel, the story of David's life there, 2 Samuel 22, it's near the end of David's life. And actually, in 2 Samuel 22, David writes a psalm there. It's the same psalm that's in Psalm 18, and I want to read it to you. Verse 3 starts this way. He says, "I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help." You know what he's doing? He's recalling all these disasters in his life. Whenever he was in battle, whenever Saul's throwing spears at him or chasing him, that his life's in danger. And then he writes verse 16. He writes, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. God drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." He's just celebrating what God has done for him. And then this is key. He writes this in verse 29. He says, "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." He's older now. And he stops looking forward. He stops looking back, and he looks forward, and he says this: "You know what? With my God, I can defeat my enemies. I can overcome these obstacles. I don't have to be afraid." He's saying there's still going to be difficulties, hardships. Life's not going to be easy. But when I remember how God saved me before, I find courage to move forward today. How would you finish that statement? Think about this for a moment. I would tempt you to write this down. With God's help, I can. What's going on in your world today? Where do you need courage? With God's help, I can. If you walk out of here today and you're like, "Wow, that was an interesting message. I've never heard that before." Honestly, it doesn't matter. The place where I want to take you today is the place where you're going to write your own psalm. We're going to look back over your family and go, "You know what, God, I remember when you did this." So you'll get to the place where you can finish the second phrase, "With God's help, I can." And let's talk about the courage that he's going to give you today. Verse 50. This is how the psalm ends. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever. You know how he ends the psalm? "I feel the overwhelming love of God." If you've ever felt loved like that, it gives you courage to stand up and not retreat. What if today you stated, "I know that I am loved by God because I know what he's done for me"? And what if you knew that God would be with you in the next challenge? What would that look like? Let me just make sure that we're all together in this, okay? Pause, let's summarize this. Point number one was remembering what God has done for your family. That builds courage. Point number two is about what God has done for you personally, and that builds courage in you. And here's the final type, and it's the final type of psalm, and I'm just going to go through this pretty quickly. It's about remembering this. It's about remembering God's power and care in creation that builds courage. Now, that might not make much sense, so hang with me in this for just a moment. Let me read to you Psalm 33:6. I'm going to read it from the NRS version. It reads this way. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." This writer is saying, look at the creation around you and stand in awe of God. I may have mentioned this to you before. You may have been here when I told you about this last year. I turned 50, right? My wife gave me this amazing gift. She invited all these people that I've been doing ministry kind of a long time. And so she just kind of reached out to people and said, "Hey, would you write him a letter to just say thanks? Or what do you remember about our time in ministry together?" So a lot of these letters that came in, they're just short little paragraphs or a couple sentences. And some of the people that we heard from, they're 30 and 40 years old today. And I haven't talked to them in 20 years. A lot of them were students in our student ministry from years ago. And I had this, I don't know, assumption about what it might sound like and what stood out to them. And I was shocked. Because many of them actually wrote about this one event that we did. We got together in the morning while it was still dark out. I mean, these are high school students, right? Who don't get up before noon. And in the summertime, they showed up before it was even light. We drove to the desert, climbed up on the hill, and read scripture as the sun came up. Sang some songs. We prayed, kind of hiked around a little bit. We're like, this is awesome. Then we got back in the vans. We drove to the mountains, spent an hour getting there, and we had lunch. And then we gave them like an hour and a half to be alone with God in nature. And then we packed in the vans again, drove 2 hours to the beach, had fun playing in the waves. And then at night, we sat there and sang worship songs to God and watched the sun go down. The event was called Worship Your Creator. And it struck me, because to these people who are now 30 years old, hitting 40, that's the memory that they had. When they stood in God's creation and worshiped Him, to be reminded of several things. One, how big God is, it makes your problems look pretty small. But when you look at the intricacy, and you're sitting there in the mountains, and all of a sudden you see bugs and flowers and the detail that God put in this world, in His creation. If God can be so detailed about that in His creation, how detailed can He be in my life and be concerned about the things I care about, the things that weigh on me? And I was just reminded that when we look at creation around us, when we remember God's power and care in creation, it builds courage in us. I think sometimes a lot of us, we go, yeah, I go out in nature and I go on hikes and I go spend time in the ocean or wherever, and it's restorative to your soul. Now, let me say this. There's some people who go, you know what? My church is the ocean. I surf every Sunday and I meet with Jesus. Like, listen, nature ain't a replacement for church, all right? I'm just saying. But creation is a reminder that God cares for us. And that His power, He wants us to stand in awe of Him. So here's the point. When we pause to have a conversation with God, and I'm going to invite you to do this. I'm going to invite you to have a conversation with God right now. Would you recall one of these things? How did He help your family? How has He helped you personally? Or what is it in creation where He shows His power and love that's going to build courage in you today? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little exercise. I'm going to have the band come out, and they're going to sing in just a moment. But here's the exercise. Inside your program, would you open that up? There's a card in there. As you pull that out and take a look at that, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this to you. If you're wondering, what did God do for me? How has He shown up in my family? Can I just remind you of the greatest rescue story in the scriptures? It's about His son, Jesus. That for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only son so that this world might have their sins paid for, so that Jesus could die on a cross and pay for the sins of the world. That's His great rescue story, available to anyone who will bow their knee to Him. If we have anything to give thanks for, it's that. Our world lived in rebellion to God, and God, because He was merciful, sent His son to die. But here's what's so amazing about it is He didn't just die on a cross. He claimed, when I die, I'm going to rise 3 days later. And on that Sunday morning, that body was gone. And here's what's amazing. It wasn't just gone. He shows up to hundreds of people over the next 40 days to prove that He truly was the Son of God. He did that for you, because you can't just come to God and say, I want relationship. We're so messed up, we need forgiveness. And so he offers you that today. And so let me just say this. I never want to miss an opportunity just to say, if you've never received Christ and you need to receive his forgiveness by his death on the cross, then that's your prayer today. Let's start there. But here's the exercise. On that card, it says this: God, I remember when you, and would you finish that sentence? What did God do for you? He'd do for your family. And just write that down. And maybe it's going to be simple. The cross, that's what God did for me. The resurrection, that's what God did for me. But I think it's that, and that's the greatest thing. But I think if you really think about it, you can put a finger on where he showed up in your life. And I want you to write that down. And here's the second sentence. With God's help, I can. Where do you need courage in your life today? So here's what I want you to do. I would love it if you did this exercise sometime during the week when you have more time to think about it. But I want you to take that card right now and write on it. And right in the back of the room, there's just a wire board back there where collectively we would love to gather your stories. So as you write, they're going to sing over us, okay? You just take time to write and meet with God. You write it on there and just go clip it on that board. Because I believe this. In this room are unbelievable stories of what God has done that will build courage in all of us. So here we go. We're going to have a moment with Jesus. And we just invite you, would you write part of your story? God, this is how I know you've shown up. And God, this is how I need courage in my life today. Meet with him. Be with him. Start writing your own psalm.